a bigger picture, and we'll be doing that next Sunday. So I see that we're in between these two services, the covenant service and the commissioning service. So I ask the Lord, what message should I bring today? Where am I going to go with the message? And I sat with the lectionary readings for this week, but it was clear that this was not where I was to go, not simply because the gospel reading is quite a difficult one for this Sunday. Believe me, it is a difficult one. It's a challenging one. But it was not for that reason that I chose not to go that way. I also see us in between times in another way. We're between the past and the future, and the matter of the congregation's future direction and leadership. So we're in that space as well. So we are really in a place of transition as a congregation. And some of our elders are also biting at the bit to get us moving out in mission and outreach. So with that in mind, thinking that through and praying about it, I picked up a little book by Gil Cann from the Evangelical Alliance called The Church on the Mezzanine Floor. Don't worry too much about the title. You can get it and have a read of that and understand what he actually means by that. But I picked up this book. That's right, I first did not go to the Bible. It's okay. You don't always have to start with the scriptures. See, you can see the pressing issue that's before you and look then at how scripture helps us to understand and deal with a particular situation. It's actually the way that a lot of the RE work works within the school. Look at the situation before you and say, what does the scripture actually say about this? How do we live our lives? So I picked up and read and reread this little booklet, which is really a series of 12 articles. And the subtitle of the book is From Maintenance to Mission in a Time of Transition. Now, there's some real gems in this booklet, and I've actually requested that the church council members all read this book, and then we'll get together and we'll have a discussion about what we read before we make any particular plans about outreach. Gil Cann, in this little booklet, appeals to the church to change its way of thinking and operating if we hope to continue to have a presence in the local community. Because he says that many churches are actually doing things wrong. Some things right, but some things wrong, and I think he's right. We are in a new era. We're in a new world. And the way that we traditionally operate, if it ever really worked, is no longer relevant or appropriate. I confess that I've read this little booklet in the past and did some rethinking about how I operate as a minister. But I confess that I lapsed back after a time into my old self and proceeded to operate out of an old and outdated paradigm. Why? Partly because it's easier, isn't it, to work in familiar patterns. But also because of the expectations, real and imagined, placed on me by the congregations in which I served. There are unwritten rules about how things are to be done and by whom. Pressure, often unintentional pressure, is applied to enable this particular way of operating to continue. So with that, let me ask you a question. How many ministers does this congregation currently have? If you said one, it's guaranteed that you're looking and pointing at me, figuratively speaking. If you said one, you're working out a very old and outdated paradigm, a time that has passed. In fact, it's good that it is past because it was really quite a faulty paradigm in which to be the church. Not only that, it did not resemble the New Testament understanding of the ministry of the church and church leadership. So how many ministers? I can't tell you exactly. As many as there are active members and adherents within the congregation, and an adherent is a person who is involved, active in the life of the church and in the life of discipleship, but has not moved to become a confirmed member of the congregation. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. Every member, we say, every member engaged to confess Jesus Christ. So that leads us to a very important question. If we take seriously the priesthood of all believers, that all believers are ministers of the gospel, how then are we recognizing, supporting, and equipping the members in and for their ministry? And what is their ministry? Perhaps some of you are thinking, actually, I don't have a ministry. I'm not really involved here. I'm not an elder. I don't even serve in one of the ministry teams. I certainly am not leading a small group, or I'm not responsible for leading one of the activities of this church. Well, maybe you could be if your gifts were being fully utilized, but that's a different matter from the one that I'm trying to elucidate this morning. For those of you who think that you don't have a ministry, that you are not a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I've got news for you. For those of you who are in a covenantal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, those who have accepted the lifestyle of being a disciple, the news is that if you think you don't have a ministry, you are wrong. Absolutely. Do you have a job? Do you play sport? Do you belong to a secular organization? A service club, perhaps? Do you shop? Do you come in contact with people as a result of these activities? And for anyone here who is a hermit, who only comes out on a Sunday morning and heads back home without talking to anybody, and who does online shopping and gets the delivery guy from Coles to leave it at the door so you don't actually have to even engage with that person, well, you could have a ministry because you could then turn your home into a prayer closet. Although I don't think we've got people like that, people who are hermits. Okay, maybe that's not a really good example, but I'm sure you get the picture of what I'm trying to say. Nobody but nobody need ever feel that they do not have a ministry as a believer. You see, too often we think of ministry as what we do as the church gathered. Our worship services, our programs in all their variety. And we reinforce that this is the real ministry because we highlight them, because we honour those who are involved in leading them. And we should, but not just those people. What Gil Cann correctly points out is that the church must move from this dominant notion of the church gathered to recognise and celebrate the church scattered. What we must recognise and celebrate is the diversity of gifts and graces being expressed not only in here, but out there. What we must learn to do much better is to support, resource and nurture people as they go about their daily lives. Not only on Sundays or in church-based activities, but on Mondays in the office, behind the counter, in front of the counter, on the golf course, at the Lions Club working bee, in their residential complex or their nursing home. These places are the mission field, the coalface. This is where we interact with people who might never ever dream of entering a church building or attending a service of worship. Sure, there is a place for both. Our church-based programs and activities like the op shop and the playgroup and the village craft and the Sunday Arvo sewing group, these sort of things, these give our people, our members, an opportunity to interact with those who do not yet believe. And that's a deliberate choice of words. With those who do not yet believe. And no doubt we can be more intentional and better equipped in this sphere. But we must also, I believe, get better at supporting the church scattered. And I like the way that Gil Cann puts it. He says, the ministry of the church is the sum total of everything which every member says and does in every situation in which they find themselves on every day of every week. This is the ministry of the church, biblically understood. You know what I'm thinking? Of course you don't. You're not mind readers. Let me tell you. That blank wall at the back of this church building. To me, there's a lot of space there that could be better utilized. What if we were to draw a map of the scattered church, with your permission, to put up a little photo of you, of our ministers, that's you, where you live, roughly, and where you work or you play or you surf, and maybe even extend it with links to overseas countries where you support Compassion or World Vision or other organisations. Like John Wesley, we can see the whole world, in a sense, as our parish. And then when we come together to worship, you don't just listen to me. I get boring after a while. I know that because I see some of you gazing out the window or nodding off. I recognise that. So what if we instead of having me do all the talking, invite people to share a story about their ministry experience, and we either celebrate with them in their efforts and their achievements, or we lament with them if they come with a burden or a pain. So we get praise and prayer points that truly connect. We don't just pray for the sick. We do that, of course, but we pray for the healthy as well. We pray for the healthy disciples. I don't know. Are you up for that? Imagine if someone was able to share. I was able to mention the name of Jesus to a friend for the very first time this week. Or I had an opportunity to pray with a complete stranger who shared a burden with me, and they were so grateful. That was a God moment. Is this kind of thing biblical? After all, one of our core values is biblical worship. Is it biblical? You bet it is. 1 Corinthians 14. What then, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each one as a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation, let all things be done for the building up. So what better way to build up and than to share and encourage and pray for one another in our missionary endeavours. We introduce this passage with that scripture passage from Ephesians chapter 4. And to show you that we do biblical worship, let's consider that something Paul says in verse 7 and verse 11. Each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The gift he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the maturity and to the measure of the full stature of Christ. So some of us have unique gifts for the purpose of helping all believers mature in their faith. He says a little later, we have to grow up into him who is the head. We have to grow up into Christ. New Life mission statement says, more people, more like Jesus. And I think that's a great mission statement. More people, more like Jesus. That's what we're on about. That's our purpose for coming together, to encourage people to grow, to be more like Jesus, and in turn to reach out to bring more people to be more like Jesus. He goes on to say, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. Do you like that? Knit together. Comes out in the unity thing there, Graham. If a strand breaks, we begin unravelling. Watch for the frayed strands. Get that strand and tuck it back in. Knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped. As each part is working properly, in other words, to its full potential, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Isn't that a great description of the church? That's the church that I want to belong to. What about you? I wonder, what do you think of what I've shared today? Is that a direction that we should consider? Should we engage with that? Do you want to be a part of something like that? Now, it's just my personal reflection. I acknowledge that. And I've asked my elders, as I said, to read this little booklet and we'll do some reflecting on it. As I said, it's just my musings. Is it God inspired? Time will tell. If it's not where God is leading this little church in the village, we'll wait on him for a different path to be revealed. We don't want to go anywhere that he doesn't want us to go. We might decide that an entirely different approach is right for us. But in finishing up this morning, I need to say this. Our future plans together are dependent to a large degree on the outcomes of this vitality of call and covenant process in which we're going to be engaged. And with that, at this point, nothing is certain. Nothing is certain. But regardless, whoever leads this little church in the village here in Mudgeribah, this little church will need to engage in prayerfully and strategically working to discover where God's going to lead this church in the future and plan what steps need to be put in place to further the good work that's already being done. Well, I hope and pray that you will be able to be here next week for the commissioning service, because you've probably realised by now that I want to commission everybody. I want to commission everybody for the ministry that you're doing. If I've still got someone sitting down, those who can't stand, we'll leave down. But if you're sitting down, then I'll be a bit concerned, because we haven't found your idea of where ministry is for you, and we need to look at that and encourage you in that. So I pray that you'll be able to be here next week for this commissioning service. Yes, we do get to celebrate the ministry of the elders, and also want to include Lisa in her role as playgroup coordinator as well. But I want it to be something that all of us feel we're commissioned for the ministry that we have, where we live, where we work, where we play. We do that for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Amen.